Hello, welcome to This Week in the Atlantic Coast Conference, the best college basketball conference in all of the country. The Sweet 16, four teams in. We're going to talk about that. The podcast for allsportsdiscussion.com. This is Jeff, one of your podcast co-hosts, and you can follow me on Twitter at TalkinACCSports. That's at TalkinACCSports. The podcast moderator is Matthew, and you can follow him at ASD_HokieSmash. That's at ASD_HokieSmash. I'm going to turn it over now to our moderator, Matthew, as he introduces our guest. And Matthew, everyone looks good to speak.
Yes, yes. And by the way, I spent a lot more time, Jeff knows this too, and Jeff and Will know this too, I spent a lot more time at the All Sports DACC Twitter account. Now that's the Twitter account for allsportsdiscussion.com. That's our blog. This is the longest running independent ACC podcast in the country, and we're thrilled, happy to have a return guest back with us tonight. We step out of the Atlantic Coast Conference this week for one of the best sporting events in the country. That's college hockey's on center stage this week. We got a special guest here. Will Ojanin is on here to discuss this great event. He is with ACC Nation. He's one of the owners and operators of ACC Nation. You can follow Will on Twitter at Will's World Minnesota. That's at WILLSWORLDMN. And the ACC Nation Twitter account at ACC Nation. Again, that's at ACCNATION. And I believe, Will, I'm going to have you plug the website so I make sure that I don't say the domain name wrong. And I want you to tell us about yourself, Will. But before you tell us about yourself, I have a question for you. Did you know that Mike London was a detective?
What?
All right. I couldn't pass that up. All right, man. Tell us about yourself, Will, and anything that you want to plug over at ACC Nation, including the website, because I didn't want to say the domain name.
It's okay. So if you're new to this podcast, this has been a long-running thing between Matthew and I since I've been coming on the podcast a long time ago. I couldn't tell you the first time. It's been a long, long time, but I was always happy to jump on and talk, you know, ACC sports and, in tonight's case, college hockey. I'm Will Ojanin. I'm with ACC Nation. The website that Matthew mentioned was accnation.net. I am based out of the Twin Cities, where as we currently speak, we are getting dumped on with what we could see up to 6 to 10 to 12 inches of snow by the time this thing ends. This is typical of March. I remember when the Final Four was here in 2019, just going to go off on a little story for a moment, like 2 days after the Final Four in 2019, after Virginia won the title here, we ended up getting like 6 inches of snow. And this is like early April. So it can snow well into April here in Minnesota. But like Matthew said, yeah, I'm with ACC Nation. We have a site. We have a weekly podcast that kind of delves into, you know, a lot of obviously football, basketball, do some women's basketball. We actually had Debbie Antonelli on before the season to preview the women's season. We actually had Dan Bonner on before the season to preview the men's season. We even step out and talk a little college softball. That was on our most recent episode. We talk some college softball. So we really do dive into all the sports, you know, as many sports as we can, you know, get into that the ACC is in.
Absolutely. You do some great coverage over there at accnation.net and at ACC Nation. And before I go on, is there anybody else that you want to plug in their Twitter accounts at your site, Will?
Just Jim. Jim's the other half. His Twitter is, well, he doesn't have a personal Twitter. He just goes through the ACC Nation Twitter. It's basically just him and I. We do the, like I said, we podcast and you know he'll put some stuff up on the site every so often. We also have a YouTube page at ACC Nation, so you can use our quote unquote beautiful mugs, you know, on a weekly basis.
Yes. All right, man. So let's get right to it. The men's NCAA Division I ice hockey finals. The Frozen Four is really back where it should be. It's going to be in Minnesota this year, but of course it starts out in the regions this year. But how do you feel about it being back in Minnesota? It's been a long.
Oh yeah. One more thing before I get into this, I forgot to mention that ACC Nation Radio is another way to catch, us. If you're just streaming, you can catch up on past episodes. Plus this show will be on ACC Nation Radio in the coming days. So yeah, I don't know if you guys have many, but we do have a partnership where this podcast is also playing on ACC Nation Radio. As far as, getting content, because we're all here doing this for fun. And obviously, you know, we all look out for each other. It's just another way for you to enjoy your favorite ACC podcasts. But as far as your answer goes, Matthew, you and I talk about this, you know, pretty much every year about how big hockey is here in the state of Minnesota. Every time the Frozen Four comes here, it's always a huge spectacle. The arenas are going to be full every game. The story here, we just recently had the high school hockey tournament, probably about 2-3 weeks ago. And the high group, I think it's the 2A, which is like all the big schools here in the Twin Cities and like Duluth and whatnot. The championship game had over 20,000 people in the building. Now, for context, there was only one NHL game that had more attendance that night than that high school hockey game. And that game was Toronto versus Montreal. Well, that's Canada. You know, it's Montreal. That's to be expected. But there was no other hockey event in the United States that had more attendance than Edina versus Chanhassen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So to say we love our hockey here in Minnesota is a big deal. Especially, let me just go on this one more tangent before we move on. But I was at a art show yesterday, and it was at what would normally be a hockey arena that was covered up for this event. And I walked by a vending machine, and in the vending machine were obviously, your traditional snacks like your candy and chips, but there was also mouth guards, tape for your stick, and new laces for your skates.
I think I saw that on your
So tell me that's like one. Not like the most Minnesota like vending machine ever.
I saw that in your Twitter timeline. I was like, yeah, absolutely. And let me add one thing too. I mean, you just were the hosts like of the NCHC Frozen Faceoff too. And you also get a lot of people that perhaps come there from Grand Forks. People would argue that Fargo and Grand Forks are kind of shut down when the Hawks are playing in the Twin Cities.
Oh yeah. Huge UND base here in the Twin Cities. I know personally quite a few UND fans, alums who went to the school there. And yeah, we will get more into UND in a little bit, but yeah, anytime there is an event that North Dakota is playing here in the Twin Cities, there's usually a huge contingent to come out, whether it's for a tournament or if, on the rare occasion, they come here to play the Gophers.
Definitely, definitely. So, man, let's get to it. Hockey's Heisman, the Hobey Baker winner. It's the award. A lot of people in ACC country don't know this, right? That this is the award that goes to the top player in college hockey. It is hockey's Heisman Trophy, basically. And I've been talking about Jackson Blake a lot this year, Will, because he's going to ACC country. He's going to go play for the Carolina Hurricanes. I believe anyway, personally, that he's going to leave North Dakota after this year. I would be shocked if he didn't, because his star is pretty hot right now. But, but there's certainly other players that are out there in the picture for hockey's Heisman, right? A lot of people think that Macklin Celebrini, that's quite a name, right, from Boston, may actually be the best player in the country. He's the youngest player in college hockey. Who do you have winning hockey's Heisman this year?
Yeah, those are a couple of good candidates right there. You talk about Jackson Blake led UND in points by quite a wide margin. I think if I saw it, he had like 59 points or something like that. And the next closest person had like 35, I want to say. So he was far and away the best player, and it wasn't even close on the team. And you mentioned Celebrini of Boston, you know, just being 17 years old and putting up, you know, what he does as a freshman. He's a forward. He was he's second in goals and third in points at 17 years old, playing against, you know, people, you know, who are at least 5 years older than him, maybe. But I think if I'm going to choose, I would probably go Cutter Gaudier of Boston College. He's 52 points, you know, led the nation in scoring, had like 33 goals, I want to say. Had a huge, huge season for the Eagles, and a lot of reason, we'll talk about them in a bit, a lot of reason why they're the number one overall seed in the tournament. I think that he had a real big hand in that. And I think it's a real close race this year. And I think the three names you and I mentioned are probably the candidates, but I think I'd probably go with Gaudier.
Fair enough. The field for the men's NCAA Division I ice hockey tournament, the Frozen Four, is available, and it's really, honestly, it's a terrific field, Will. It's one of the strongest ones that I've seen in several years, and you've got some real competitive regionals out there. I have to be frank with you. I was a little surprised that North Dakota didn't get placed in the Sioux Falls region. I was a little bit surprised that they were in there. They weren't in there, and Minnesota was in there. However, be that as it may, I want you to go through each of the regions here and give us your final four.
Yeah, this was something Matthew and I talked about before we started, just about how deep this field is. This is one of the toughest fields to predict in quite some time. A lot of like the names you would know if you follow sports in general, or especially college hockey. You got your number one overall seed is Boston College, which I just mentioned. They might have the Hobie Baker winner. They're going to take on Michigan Tech, should win that game pretty easily. But then they would take on the winner of Wisconsin and Quinnipiac. And those are two teams who were in the top 10 in the pairwise ranking. So to explain pairwise to people who don't quite understand, think of it kind of along the lines of what the net ranking would be in basketball. It's not the same, but it's kind of along the same lines. And you got, you know, Boston College with two top 10 teams in this ranking. And now keep in mind, there's only like 64 hockey schools. So it's not a huge field. It's only 16 teams. It's like getting, you know, you're only getting a quarter of the field in, basically. I think Matthew, this is a funny thing, you know, with the Frozen Four in St. Paul. How much, like, just for a bit, the business boom, would it be cool to see Wisconsin, North Dakota, and Minnesota all make it? They're all in separate regions, all could theoretically make it. But just think of just how busy St. Paul will be in a couple of weekends when if all three of those teams were to make it.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Will, because I was in Minnesota for the Frozen Four once, when North Dakota, Denver, Minnesota, and Duluth all made the final four.
Yep.
That was, you know what, that was absolutely crazy. And, you know, you're absolutely right. That would be ridiculously nuts. I'm not sure that outcome will happen, unfortunately. I say it biasly, right? Because I'd actually like to see that happen. But, yeah, you know, it would be pretty cool. But
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I would love to see, I'd love to see that from, you know, like I say, but I don't think Wisconsin's going to get there. I think Wisconsin, Quinnipiac is going to be a toss up, but I think BC is going to come out of that. I think they're just way too good. On the other side, just looking on, there, like I say, we talk about North Dakota's in there against Michigan. That's a pretty even matchup. They would take on most likely Michigan State. I think that one of the four is probably the most wide open. I think any three of the four teams could easily win out of that. Michigan State could easily win it. I think either North Dakota or Michigan could win it too. I'm just going to play nice with you, man. I think I'm going to take North Dakota out of this. I think, yeah, I think they've had their moments. I think they can be at their best. They can be just about anybody in the country, and we've seen that. But I'm just not fully sold on Michigan State. But I understand why they're there. And on the other side, you've got Denver as your number three seed taking on UMass and then Maine and Cornell. I think Denver's going to win, although I think they're going to get a real tough opponent out of that if they can, as long as they beat UMass. I mean, we talk about the NCHC. Denver and North Dakota have been, you know, a couple of the best teams out of that league for a while now. And yeah, I think they're going to win. And then BU is in with RIT, Minnesota, and Omaha. I would not honestly not be surprised if Omaha won that game. Just to be honest, I think they're every bit as good as Minnesota, and it's going to be a very tough game. But I think BU might end up taking the region personally. As much as I would love to see the Gophers win, I just don't think they're good enough to beat BU. BU has been one of the best teams in the country this year.
All good analysis. Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't be surprised, Will, to see Massachusetts beat Denver.
Oh, really? What makes you think that?
Yeah. Because they have a really good coach. They play really disciplined hockey. And some, you know, it's been North Dakota and Denver sometimes both have difficulty playing against teams that play really disciplined hockey. North Dakota lost four games this year to Colorado College. Four. I mean, and they were never close. They were never in any of them. And if somebody play, you know, if you play this real disciplined style of hockey, sometimes you make these unforced, you know, the other team is less disciplined, will make these unforced errors, and the other team just comes in like vultures and collapses on turnovers and stuff like that. You know, kind of like what UVA does a lot in hoops, right? I mean, you know, that is what I think Massachusetts is, right? I mean, they're kind of that sort of, and it just would not surprise me. The game is up in Springfield, Massachusetts. You know, it's ripe for upset to me.
But the difference is they can actually score in like Virginia. But...
Yeah.
So speaking of Virginia, I made this joke on Twitter on Saturday. Y'all see during the tournament the Geico commercial with a girl is like your perimeter is weak and your point guard's a geek. There's a little girl in a Virginia jersey. Tell me that's not the most offense anybody in a Virginia uniform's had the last week.
Well done. Well done. All right, man. So from what I'm hearing you say, Will, you got Boston College and you got North Dakota in one semifinal. In the other semifinal, you've got Denver and you got BU. And I think those are very reasonable picks. Who wins those two games and who do you have in the final winning it all?
It'd be kind of funny if two teams from Boston met in St. Paul for the championship, and I think that's a very realistic possibility. Oh yeah.
The least attended Frozen Four in the history of it. No,
I mean, I'm not gonna badmouth the city of Boston because I just went there back in November and had a great time visiting, despite even though the weather sucked. But I had a great time visiting Boston, so I'm not gonna speak ill of that city. But yeah, I think it's going to end up being BC and BU, in the championship. I mean, it's very chalky, but I just feel like there is a separation between those two and the rest of the field, in my opinion.
I think that's a fair statement. They both have kind of shown that on the ice all year. And that's probably, I mean, I think there's a very good, that's very, very good possibility. The only possibility, I would see a lot of home crowd ice there, as you could probably agree, Will, if it was North Dakota there that night. So they'd probably give BC a hard time, but they are such a fast, skilled team. Mm-hmm. And they have a bunch of players on that team that are going to the NHL. I mean, so does North Dakota. I mean, I guess when you get to that level and if you get all the teams that you pick to be in there, all four of those teams have a lot of players going to be in the NHL.
Yeah, you get 20,000 people at the X, and I bet 15,000 of them will be North Dakota fans.
I know.
The other 5,000 will be BC fans, or by trade, or you know, maybe flying out for Boston, or Gopher fans just rooting for BC.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's exactly what it will be. That's pretty funny. That's pretty very good, Will. We're going to transition to ACC basketball. Jeff, you are up, and what a time to talk about ACC hoops.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. All right, Will, we've got some ACC basketball to talk about. And, you know, this March is like every March. The ACC teams seem to outperform the expectations of the national media. And again, in 2024, it's no different. Four ACC teams in the Sweet 16 out of five bids. Unfortunately, we know Virginia, you know, they did not play well in their first four game. You know, they deserved a bid. That's one thing that I have a real problem with people saying they didn't deserve a bid. But they were correctly seeded, and you know, just because they didn't play well doesn't mean they weren't an NCAA team. Finishing third in the ACC, which is obviously now proving to be quite an accomplishment, seeing what other teams have done in the league. They had wins over Texas A&M, who's right now pushing Houston. They beat Florida on a neutral site. They had won a preseason conference tournament. So, you know, Virginia was a tournament team who didn't play well on a Tuesday night. But I think what we're seeing here in the NCAA tournament is that the ACC probably should have had six, maybe even seven bids. But that's a story for another time. Give us your impressions on the ACC's team's performance so far in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, whatever Virginia did on Tuesday isn't going to. I agree with you. I'll be honest with you. I'm shocked they got in, like, just because of the way they had played. And it's really funny to me just how much luck can play a factor in March. Because had Isaac McNeely hit a free throw in the closing seconds of regulation in that game, we wouldn't be talking about NC State right now. We would be talking about, I don't know, for all we know, we could be talking about Pitt instead. I don't remember who, like, their first four hour. I know Pitt was one of the four. It was like Oklahoma and a couple other teams. I don't remember, but it just amazes me the way luck can change things, because Kevin Keats went from potentially fired to the Sweet 16. And Brad Brunell, you could argue the same thing. I don't know if his seat wasn't as hot, definitely, as Keats's was, but there were rumblings. Let's be real. There were rumblings. Like, I don't think he would have gotten fired, but he's in the Sweet 16 again for like the second time in 6 years. Yeah, and they've done it. And, you know, they obviously beat the living crap out of New Mexico. And Jeff, you and I talked about this the other day, that if everyone would have played their, like, you know, decent game, they would have beat New Mexico by 30. They would, but still they only won by like 20 or whatever. And then they, for the most part, dominated Baylor until they kind of imploded at the end, but then, you know, held it together. You know, an amazing performance, because it really says something, because PJ Hall fouled out of that game and they were still in the, you know, they still were able to pull that out. I think that shows just the depth and, you know, getting, you know, some of these other guys going. Like, Shefflin's played a huge role in this tournament for Clemson. Yeah, obviously Hunter's had a good tournament. It really says something with, you know, you can, you know, rely on these players more than some of these other teams that Clemson's put out there. Obviously, Carolina has been, you know, taking care of business. I was very happy that they were able to pull away and blow out Michigan State, so we didn't have to hear Izzo in March yet again. I mean, we all know it's a myth. Remember, he lost to Middle Tennessee at one point as a two seed. So, but yeah, like Duke, I was shocked how much they just dominated JMU. I thought JMU was a really good team. I thought Duke was going to win. Don't get me wrong, but I thought JMU would put up more of a fight than that. But this is why sometimes, you know, these teams with such young players tend to peak at this time of the year. You mean, look at McCain's been one of the best players in the league for the last like month or so. He's just been amazing, and he showed it again today. I mean, dude was unconscious, could have hit it from anywhere on the court. And if he continues to do this, then yeah, we can start seriously talking about Duke potentially making the Final Four. I don't know, and they're gonna have a real hard if they end up facing the one seed. I think they can give, you know, one game. I think it's they play Houston. I think that's going to be a real game, good game, because we all know Houston's a really good defensive team. But yeah, the fact that all the ACC teams that made it through, you know, a regular record are still alive, and we have a quarter of the Sweet 16. I think, yeah, I know. Yeah, Louisville sucked. Yes, we know that. But trust me when I say this league's getting better. I know, and Jeff and I have talked about this, but just watch for Georgia Tech. Once Stoudemire starts getting more of his players in, they're going to be in the tournament. Maybe next year, but definitely maybe in a couple of years. Notre Dame was down this year a little bit. Just wait. They have a really good backcourt. Let them get some front court pieces and some more depth. They're going to be in the tournament again. I think this league is just going to get much, much better within the next year or two. And I think that they're not going to be saying the same things, you know, now that they're saying, you know, 3 months ago or whatever.
All right. Very good, Will. Now let's, Matthew, you got something you want to add here? Comments.
Sure. I mean, it's, you know, you and I have talked about this, and I even wrote about it at the site, that, I mean, the ACC teams, they play so many different styles of basketball, whether, you know, you got that A-plus talent at Duke, you got the vets who've been through it before at UNC, you got the really good defense by UVA, the physical play at Boston College, the structured offense at Virginia Tech, the motion style offense at Miami. You've got this defensive lineman, right, who has a baby hook like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar at NC State, and you've got all these, you know, the aggressive guard play from Cuse, the NBA style offense at Georgia Tech. You play all these different styles of offense and defense, and you are prepared when you come to the NCAA tournament. I mean, you and I have talked about this, Jeff, that the SEC is just a bunch of dribble drive sorts of NBA offenses with no defense. And consequently, when they see like teams that are disciplined from the ACC or Ivy or the Big East, they're shocked and they're not able to react.
Yeah. I mean, exactly, Matthew, it's no surprise that, you know, two of the SEC teams that actually, you know, give more than lip service to defense, Tennessee and Alabama, are in the Sweet 16. They're not great defensive teams, but they're not like, you know, competing Matador defenses like most of the teams in the league, a la Kentucky Auburn, who I don't think is a very good defensive team either. I totally agree with you on those comments.
Go ahead, Jeff. Let's move to the next question, eh?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, along those lines too. I totally agree with when you say that there are a lot of different styles of basketball played in the ACC, and you know, with people kind of, you keep seeing these tweets coming up, you know, all day. I don't understand what's going on. How's the ACC doing this yet again, performing in March, you know, when they didn't play that well, you know, or they were, I think part of it is like, you know, false narrative setting, but you know, there are other things you can look at. There are some out of conference losses early in the year, fewer this year than the last 2 years. But, you know, when they get into conference play, you've got like when NC State played Texas Tech, you watched it and you said, hey, they're switching defenses like crazy. Where's NC State has seen that before? Oh yeah, a couple, like a week ago against Virginia, you know, there's not a whole lot of difference between Texas Tech and Virginia other than, you know, Texas Tech is a really good free throw shooting team and Virginia wasn't this year, but as far as stylistically, not that different. You know, Clemson today against Baylor, you know, they'd played TCU already, but Baylor was kind of a little bit looking like a 4-1 type offense. Well, who plays that in the ACC? You know, Georgia Tech does. Very guard oriented, a little bit undersized, not that good of defensive, and shoots a lot of threes. That was Baylor. Now Baylor's better than Georgia Tech, don't get me wrong, but you know, they'd seen the style. You know, you got the pros, you know, a talent laden roster at Duke. You've got the experienced up and down transition game at North Carolina. You've got the, you know, the stuff you see from Syracuse, the slow pace of play with Notre Dame. And I think that really prepares the teams when they come into March, because there's not anything they haven't seen or that they, you know, that they haven't seen since December when they were playing out of conference. And I think that really hurts teams in large part from the SEC because of what you said, Matthew. I mean, these are big, athletic, individually skilled teams, but very undisciplined with average coaching, most of them. You know, the Big Ten is still a plodding conference. You know, who in the SEC really gets up and down the court? Maybe Illinois is a little bit, you know, and they're pretty good. And, I mean, I will say Purdue is very good. Edie is a monster out there, and I mean, they can just build around him. I think the Big 12 has kind of stepped back a little bit from what they were the last 2 years. Yeah, their metrics looked fantastic, but I mean, you know, the ACC took 11 of 14 games from them so far. I mean, you'll take your metrics, I'll take the box scores, but I mean, I think that explains a lot of why we see that, you know, over the last 3 years. What are your thoughts on that, Will, before we go to the next question?
You're right. The metrics aren't everything. The box score says a lot more. We've seen this year, like the ACC is, you know, they didn't game the system like the Big 12 did necessarily with the non-conference. They actually went out and tried the schedule. We saw, even outside of the challenge, we saw, they say Virginia play a neutral site game with Florida and won. You know, Duke did that with obviously the Michigan State game that they play every year, and the James Glazett on neutral won that game. They beat Baylor on a neutral court. You know, they're not necessarily playing on the road per se, but they're at least playing in an environment that's not, you know, necessarily friendly. Saw them do. Carolina did that some, you know, a couple of times. Obviously, they played a couple of neutral site games. They did, and you know, it helps them there. But I think the thing of it is, yeah, we talked about this. You know, there are so many different styles in this conference, and we're seeing it. Right, that we know, you know, these when we come into March, we know what to expect. I mean, you're not going to see a lot of teams that play. There are teams that play some pack line principles like Virginia does, but they don't play it to the same level as they do. I mean, you're not going to play at a 60, you know, 60 possession game, you know, with a lot of these teams like you will with Virginia, but they just master the offensive or the defensive side of it. But yeah, you guys are right on about that.
All right. Sounds good. Will, you know, we're getting towards the end of the podcast. We got a couple more questions here. You know, give us your picks for the upcoming weekend, and we'll run through the brackets as they exist. So far, we still got a couple more games to go. How many And then how many ACC teams of the four do you see in the Final Four? And we'll run through the brackets here. We'll start in the East with Connecticut, and they'll play the winner of San Diego State and Yale.
Oh, yeah. With the way UConn's been playing in this weekend, no chance anybody's touching them right now.
Yeah, my goodness. They destroyed Northwestern. That was as lopsided as a 17-point win final as you ever see. They treated Northwestern like a JV squad, and that was a Northwestern team that beat Purdue and took them to the overtime. Mm-hmm. And the second time they played them, I mean, they absolutely annihilated Northwestern.
Oof, yeah, and remember they had a fight with FAU, who we know, you know, in any given day could beat anybody, and they beat FAU, which I think is a credit to them.
Yeah, exactly, and I felt like FAU was probably a little bit more equipped to at least make UConn break a sweat, but of course, I mean, Northwestern's still a good team, and they beat FAU, has been all over the place this season. But, yeah, we're waiting on the final from San Diego State and Yale to be UConn, but I think that's an easy call. They're probably beating either one of those teams. Then on the other side of that bracket, this is a real quality matchup here. You got Illinois and Iowa State, the 2 and 3 seed in that region.
I like Illinois. I like what I've seen from them in this tournament. They have really good inside-outside game. Dane Danger and the inside's been really, really good for them in the tournament. I can't say I've sat here and watched a ton of Illinois basketball, but that's one of the things that has stood out to me, you know, watching them Saturday night and obviously in their first game, in their game on Thursday. But a lot of people thought they had a shot of being upset in the first round, but they kind of silenced that. Beat a good team there, and with the way they shoot the ball too, I think they can provide a lot of good scoring, and I think that will be too much for Iowa State. So I will take Illinois in that matchup.
All right, is UConn coming out of that region into the Final Four?
100%. Yeah, I'm taking them all the way until proven, or all the way through to the Final Four until proven otherwise.
All right. In the West bracket, you've got North Carolina and Alabama.
So I put Alabama in my bracket. Do I have confidence about it? Absolutely not. I like both teams a lot, and I kind of picked them thinking, you know, I have seen some things about North Carolina that have concerned me, but they have kind of quelled those in these two games this week. Alabama, obviously they haven't played well defensively. I'm just going to be real. Yeah. We know they can be a good defensive team, even, you know, the things kind of slay out, but I don't think they've been a very good defensive team in this tournament. They gave up 96 to Charleston. They beat Grand Canyon by 11, but that was because they hit a bunch of free throws late, and that game was a lot closer than it actually was. But in my bracket, I have Alabama winning, but I think this is an absolute toss up.
All right, and the other end of the back bracket, you've got Clemson and Arizona.
I'm very curious to see what PJ Hall can do against this Arizona team. I mean, they're very. He's going to probably get a lot of Umar Ballo, who's a really good inside big man. But I don't know if he can get out there and defend when Hall wants to shoot a three. That's going to be the kind of the key there, how they defend him at that. But I just think Arizona is just going to be too much for them, though. And they're a super, super talented team.
Yeah, and PJ Hall's got to stay on the floor. He's really developed a tendency late in the season to pick up a lot of fouls and sit. And Clemson's been able to, you know, beat two pretty quality teams without getting a ton of minutes out of Hall in New Mexico and against Baylor. I mean, honestly, I think Clemson can play a lot better than we've seen. They played two good first halves, but in the second half against Baylor. I mean, it was basically Chase Hunter kind of willing them to victory, and Hall being on in large stretches of the game on the bench. Joe Girard not really scoring at the pace that we would have expected from him. I mean, if they get both of them going, their chances of giving Arizona game go way, way up. He's got to stay on the floor. But like you said, Arizona is a super talented team, and we're right there until the final week, you know, with their shot at being a number one team. Really good front line. We remember what they did against Duke early in the year. We were like, whoa, they just went into Cameron and pushed Filipowski and company all over the place in the paint. So who comes out of that bracket, you think, now?
I would probably, well, because again, I have Alabama in my Final Four in my bracket, but I think you can really make an argument for, if Carolina wins, you can make the argument for them. But there's a part of me would like to see Carolina, Arizona, to see Caleb Love take on his old team, you know, his old team again. That would be kind of fun. You'd have a ready-made storyline all there, but. Just going off of my bracket, I'm taking Alabama.
All right. All right. Now we go to the Midwest bracket. And you know what? When there's not a ton of upsets, you end up getting like some just fantastic Sweet 16 and Elite Eight matchups. And I mean, these regions are setting up with some great matchups. Here we've got Purdue and Gonzaga. They played earlier in the year. Purdue won by 10, but that game was a lot closer. That game was a game. It was tied until the final 3 or 4 minutes before Purdue kind of pulled away. And Gonzaga, they can throw some bodies at Zach Edey. And, you know, Gonzaga's battle tested. That, I think, could be a great game. So give us your thoughts on Purdue and Gonzaga. And then on the other side of that bracket, I think, is another tremendous matchup with Creighton and Tennessee. Anybody that's beaten UConn at any point in this season is super dangerous and capable of playing with anyone in college basketball. And Creighton is the only team to beat Connecticut this calendar year, and they can shoot the ball at times as well as anyone in college basketball. Tennessee, super athletic. Who you got in these two games?
Yeah, I'm taking Purdue over Gonzaga, even though I feel like this is, like you said, it's going to be a real tough game. We saw that, you know, when they met earlier in the season. And Zach Edey's probably going to win National Player of the Year again. He's just borderline unstoppable, just because he's, you know, he has the size to just pretty much be a menace in and around the basket. So if Gonzaga wants to win this game, they're going to have to shoot from the perimeter well. And they can do that, but you kind of have to take Edey out of the game defensively, and hope you could do it that way. I just don't know if they're going to be good enough to do that. Yeah, I'll be honest. In my bracket, I actually had Texas beating Tennessee, so I took an L there. Got a little too cute with my bracket, but. Is it kind of felt that, Rick Barnes has not had a lot of success in March, and I usually don't follow trends because trends don't always happen. But I thought I thought Texas would be good enough to win, and they were unfortunately unable to do that. But I'm taking Creighton to beat Tennessee, and like you said, I think when they're at their best, they could be a top five team in the country. When everything is clicking, you know, Kalkbrenner's a really good player. Shireman's a really good player. They have a good tandem right there. I just would like to see them play a little bit better defensively. And then as far as who's going to come out of that, and I'm just going to say a Creighton. If there's a team of the ones that are left that I think could, you know, make Zach Edey a liability defensively, it's Creighton, because they can do what needs to be done to beat Purdue, and that shoot from the perimeter. They're a really good shooting team in that way, and I feel like they could really pose a threat. So yeah, I'm kind of going out of limb and taking Creighton to go to the Final Four out of that one.
All right, good call, and I mean, I like the Creighton pick of what they can do with three. I mean, they're just not you could say that about every team. Oh, if they shoot the three, they're going to be really good. But I mean, you know, that's Creighton's game, and we've seen, I mean, they're one of the best 3-point shooting teams in college basketball, and that's going to stretch a team out and put stress on Purdue's guards. And then not have them just comfortably, you know, feeding the ball to Zach Edey the whole game. If they got to extend and expend so much energy chasing those shooters of Creighton. So, yeah, it'll be very intriguing there. On the other side of the bracket here in the South bracket, we still got a game here up in the air between Houston and Texas A&M. Still 14 minutes left in that game. Houston is up 7, so there's still some doubt there. But, you know, as what I've seen so far in the second half, I think Houston's going to be able to pull away at some point, but maybe not. But in that game, the winner of that game would face Duke, the Duke Blue Devils, who've looked really impressive so far in this tournament. And on the other side of that bracket, NC State continuing their run since the ACC tournament. They'll place a Marquette team. I'm curious when you speak on it, Will. I think this is a pretty good matchup for NC State. You know, Marquette is a very good basketball team, but I don't know if they have the post. I think the post advantage with Burns and Middlebrooks and Diarra can give Marquette some trouble in that game.
Yeah, you're right. They're just kind of pulling up their roster. Yeah, they have a guy who's 6'11", but he's only 235 pounds, so he's not going to be able to really body Burns in the way you need to on the inside. And you get a 40-pound you know, weight disadvantage. He's going to be able to use that to his advantage, but it's just a matter of can the rest of this team – you know, defend a three. Marquette's a pretty good 3-point shooting team. You know, they're 36% from three for the season. You know, Cam Jones was 41%. He's a really good shooter from three. Can't forget Tyler Kolick, who's also a really good 3-point shooter. Those two are kind of the catalyst of the offense. I think if NC State's going to win this game, though, they need their shooters to be more consistent. We know, like a Diarra, for example. Like on a given day, he can be, if he's hot, he can be just unconscious. And I will say, seeing what's helped State too, especially in that first game, was Middlebrooks being such a factor. He wasn't so much a factor in the Oakland game, but when he and Burns just basically toyed with Texas Tech on the inside like that, I think it shows just he is a very capable, you know, depth piece for this team. And I think they just need more. They need, you know, to be consistent shooting team in order to pull off this upset. But I just don't know if they're going to be able to defend them well enough to win the game. That's my concern.
All right, and who do you have coming out of that bracket?
Assuming Houston beats A&M, obviously, as Jeff mentioned, the game's still going on. But if Houston wins, I'm taking them all the way through to the Final Four. I just think their defense is just too good. They're going to be able to put somebody on a McCain and just stifle him. They're going to have many bodies that can make this a tough game for Duke. And I just don't know if outside of McCain, they have anybody that can be a consistent scorer for them.
All right. Matthew, I'm going to turn it over to you. As we close out the podcast.
Jeff, thank you. Will, thanks again for the partnership on the ACC Nation Radio. We appreciate that. I didn't get a chance to thank you at the opening segment, so thank you for that. That's the first thing. And, man, the second thing, I mean, I want to ask you, how much are you looking forward to ACC football this year, Will? I mean, I got kind of excited about it when I started setting up all these ACC football podcasts. I mean, we still have a ways to go, right, until basketball's over, but I'm kind of excited for football to start. Tell me about it, Will. Are you ready for ACC football?
I am, because I'm excited to see what Virginia can do this year. Just what can they build on a little bit of success they had 2023, and I say that because they were a lot more competitive last year, save for 2-3 games. You know, they were, I think, in all but like two, three games, they were in one score games in the fourth quarter. They just needed just a little more to finish off some of these games and 3-9 could have turned into 6-6. You know, if you would have, you know, scored in overtime, maybe you would have, you know, beat Miami, you know, down at their place instead of losing in overtime. You know, if you would have, you know, maybe had a better plan against Boston College, you would have won on the road there. There are a lot of, I mean, there are a lot of what ifs with this team. So I'm excited to see what the next step is. They obviously did really well in the portal. I mean, we'll get more into this down the road, but you know, I'm curious to see how does Florida State follow up, you know, last season. I don't know. They're probably not going to be quite as good this year. I don't think they're the top line talent is what it was last year. You know, then you have to wonder, what's Clemson? You know, what is it? Are they going to be a team they still have the talent to win the league this year, but I just don't know if the offense will be there. They need to do some thing. Who else is going to step up? You know, man, I know why you're excited, Matthew, because Virginia Tech's kind of the team that has a lot of people talking because of all the returning talent, plus what they did in the portal, plus what looks to be a softer schedule. And a lot of people think the Hokies could be this year's Louisville of last year. And then you got to, what is Louisville? How do they follow up the momentum of that? And then you have the new schools coming in. Could SMU make a big impact in year one? Can, you know, are Cal and Stanford going to, what's their competition level going to be with the rest of the league? Could they be at the bottom of the league, you know, with, you know, this year? So I'm very curious to see how this all plays out. Am I excited for more teams? No, not really. I hate conference realignment, but as the acronym says, cash rules everything around me. So that's what it's all about. But yeah, I think I'm excited to see. I'm more excited for the video game first. I'm excited for that to come out. Then I'll start worrying about, you know, the rest of the college football. But yes, I'm excited to see what this season's going to hold, because I feel like, and I feel like I feel this every year, I feel like this year's ACC should be better.
Amen.
It may not be top you know, level heavy as a team that, you know, they're going to get a team into the playoff, but I think the middle of the league will be better.
That's a very good analysis. And I think just to add on to what you said as part of my open mic, that you'll probably have more ACC teams in contention for the playoffs towards the end of the year because of what you just said there, that the middle will be better. What do you got for your open mic, Will?
Not much gonna add. I think just gonna throw in a little something here. The women's tournament's been a lot of fun. Unfortunately, you know, Virginia Tech just lost, their season ended, but I think that was just an amazing season that kind of got, you know, sidetracked by Kitley's injury and really just, you know, hampered what was a very promising season, because I think if she were healthy, they had a real shot of getting to the Final Four. But we do have, on the women's side, we do have Duke, and already they upset Ohio State. That's going to be a lot of fun. We know we're curious to see what NC State can do. They play Monday. I actually filled out a women's bracket for the first time this year and put NC State on my Final Four. And when I've watched women's basketball, they've been, you know, every bit as good as Tech. I know Tech was one of the better teams, but I feel like NC State has a real shot with their path to the Final Four. The only thing I want out of this women's bracket is for somebody to just beat the ever loving crap out of LSU. I cannot say how much I hate their coach. I would say what I really feel about her, but this is a family friendly show and I will refrain from that.
Maybe they'll have, I hate to say that they'll have something in the Washington. I never did see the Washington Post story. I hear it's coming out. I have a subscription to it. Did it come out, Will?
No, not yet. She's already playing, trying to do like, whatever you call it, just before it even comes out. So,
she's trying to discredit. Yeah,
exactly.
So in other words, she's trying to say like, no, I really wasn't in the Capitol on January 6th.
Yeah, or whatever.
I'm sorry.
I don't know what it could be about. I really don't know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like I really didn't stay in the Hampton Inn Suites in Matthew's hometown in Alexandria, Virginia, on January 6th. I'm just kidding. That's terrible of me to say. you're up, Jeff.
You know, we talked about the ACC and how disrespected they were during the course of the season. A lot of people eating crow. And you know, let's just see how the rest of the tournament goes. And, you know, people just watch the games. It was all out there. I mean, I'm not saying the ACC was for sure getting four teams in the Sweet 16. But, I mean, it shouldn't be all that shocking if you just actually watched basketball. I mean, people were questioning Virginia as an example. I mean, they beat Texas A&M. They beat Florida. We saw Colorado here make the second weekend. They lost to Florida State earlier in the year. Mississippi State, you know, a 9 seed or a 8. I think, yeah, they were an 8 seed. You know, lost on the road at Mississippi, lost the road at Georgia Tech. I mean, the ACC had quality wins. It was the fourth-ranked team, a conference in the net. But yet we were talking about a 2-3 bid league earlier in the year in the Mountain West Conference, who's, you know, looks like they're going to get San Diego State. But, you know, all 5 out of the 6 teams in there, you know, that received bids out in the first weekend, including the champion who got blown out by Clemson. And we saw that. We saw that earlier in the year, the teams from the Mountain West, when they stepped and played ACC teams, they had a losing record against them. Clemson beat Boise State. Virginia Tech, you know, beat Boise State. These results shouldn't be as shocking if you would just watch the games. But here we are. And anyways, you know, the other thing I want to point to real quick is Greg Sankey. Good grief! You know, the SEC commissioner just a complete, you know, out of touch with any kind of reality going on, as he called for a week ago. You know, even suggesting that the NCAA tournament should reduce mid-major AQ bids because, you know, teams from more competitive leagues deserved, you know, more bids. And then you go out and have Kentucky lose to Oakland and as a 3 seed and Auburn lose to Yale. Even tonight, Grand Canyon, you know, really pushing Alabama, and it's looking like the SEC will be down to 2 teams in the tournament after getting 8 bids. Man, that's another one. There's a couple guys, people out there that need to eat some crow. He's one of them. Greg Sankey, John Rothstein, who suggested the ACC should be a 2-bid league. Joe Lenardi, the bracketologist from ESPN, who suddenly has gone radio silent on Twitter, but right after Virginia lost, you know, sent out a couple tweets, you know, bashing the Cavaliers, saying Pittsburgh never belonged in the tournament and had been indirectly taking shots at the ACC the entire year. We haven't heard from him. So those are 3 folks that need to eat some crow, because the NCAA tournament is kind of spoken about where things truly are.
Well said, Jeff. Well said. And, you know, I'm going to ask you a real brief question. Have you seen Mike DeCourcy? He's a former, of course, a former sports writer from Sporting News, and now he's a Big Ten analyst, and I guess does some writing for the Big Ten Network. And he was just having a back and forth today with Joe Ovies, and I mean, it almost looked like he was trolling the ACC. And I have questions about that. If you're an analyst, and how objective you are, if you're hired as an analyst by the Big Ten Network, but he kind of was in that same vein that Jeff just mentioned. Now he's kind of a lot of these folks are taking a few lumps out there, verbal lumps, I should say, and probably well deserved. I hate to sound petty, but that's what Joe Ovi said, that we're not like a rah rah SEC fan base. We're like a facts matter fan base. That's what he was saying. And I think that's a pretty good assertion. Would you?
I mean, yeah, I mean, it's really funny how yeah, and that's the thing I like about Joe is he's very to the point about this kind of thing. I thought it was real interesting to see some of the stuff going on about it, and just like you said, you know, I think this says more about the league than, you know, a lot of things. When you say NC State was, you know, kind of made that darling run, and everyone, and you know, with the way things are going right now, with, you know, Yale getting its teeth kicked in currently by San Diego State, the Cinderella darling's NC State right now. Like DJ Burns, he's kind of the star of the tournament, because he is a solid college player who for his size is a really, really agile basketball player. And I even said this during the ACC tournament, I'm going to miss him when he's gone. Like, I like watching him play as like a college player. Because he doesn't play like he has, you know, when he's backing down, you know, a defender. Yeah. He plays like, you know, 6'8", 275, but as far as his agility, he doesn't play like that. And that's one of the things that's what I love about some of these stories about March and the back and forth from Mike DeCourcy, you know, you were talking about, and yeah, that's the thing I like about Joe. He's very truthful about it all. Just kind of likes to, you know, point out your contradictions and stuff like
that. Amen. Amen. Will, thank you so much for coming on the All Sports Discussion ACC's podcast and spending your Sunday night with us during Snowmageddon in Minnesota and lots of crowds coming to the Frozen Four. Thanks again for joining us, Will, and we look forward to having you come on soon on the podcast to talk about some Virginia football with us. Thanks again, Will.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Looking forward to it again.
All right, take care. Have a great weekend.